Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
So there's been a lot of talk about threats to American democracy this summer, but it turns out Americans have very different ideas about what those threats might be. A new survey suggests that for some, the big threats include the increasing political power of the very rich to control government and foreign governments interfering with elections. But others are more concerned about media bias than Russian election meddling. The new survey comes from The Atlantic and the Public Religion Research Institute and suggests that Americans are now more divided than ever. So joining me to discuss this from Washington is Robert Jones. He's the CEO of the Public Religion Research Institute, who administered the survey. Robert Jones, good to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks, Anthony.
Also with us from Washington, Atlantic reporter Emma Green, whose article about the survey results is out today. Emma Green, good to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So let me start with you, Robert. What's the biggest takeaway from this poll that you'd like to highlight?
Well, I do think the divisions in the country that are not just political, they're also racial, is one of the things that just stands out, and particularly when we're looking at really threats to our democracy and threats to our voting system in particular. And, you know, the bridge finding from the conversations you've been having is a question about outside interference by foreign governments. Now, overall, it looks like there's only 45% of the country that says this is a major problem with our election system. But if you look under the hood a little bit, that 45% goes in two very different ways politically. So only 22% of Republicans, but 68% of Democrats say this is a major problem. So on this topic, and I should be clear, this survey was in the field prior to the press conference yesterday. So this is where the dial was set prior to this conversation. But that's a nearly 50 percentage point gap between Republicans and Democrats on their perceptions of how big a problem outside interference by foreign governments in our electoral system is. And that carries over to a number of other things. You mentioned media bias and influence of wealthy individuals. And here again, the two political parties are really mirror images of one another on the influence of wealthy individuals and corporations. 8 in 10 Democrats, but only 4 in 10 Republicans say that's a major problem. But when you get to media bias against certain candidates, it completely flips. Only about 4 in 10 Democrats, but about 8 in 10 Republicans and 8 in 10 white evangelical Protestants, by the way, also say that media bias is a major problem. So we have this just real divide in the country.
So essentially, groups of people will be looking at the exact same set of facts, but come to very, very different conclusions.
Yeah, that's right. I think that is one of the real challenges here. You know, if you think about, I mean, democracies are kind of fragile things, and they depend on at least a baseline of consensus on some, you know, basic facts, and really the arguments are only productive when they are really working from at least a baseline set of understandings. And I think one of the real worries and threats here is that on many, many of these very important issues, Americans, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, or whether they're white or African American, are seeing two very different realities.
Mm. So, Emma Green, let me come to you and tell me about your article, which is out this morning, if I have that correct. How did your reporting supplement this survey's findings? Give us a sense.
So what we see in this survey are two very different stories about the state of American democracy. In general, a sense of pessimism, perhaps, from both Republicans and Democrats, conservative, liberal, but more broadly, just a different sense of what's ailing us as a country. This is something that I have seen in my reporting focusing on religion and politics, talking to people in local churches, asking people about their reactions to politics, and just getting a real sense that at these core institutions, at local levels, people have radically different ideas about the state of our country. We see that in some of the numbers that Robbie just mentioned. But more broadly, I think we need to pay attention to the way that people are constructing the story that they tell about themselves, their identity, and what's ailing our current electoral system.
So say more about that. What do you mean about paying attention to the way people are constructing their stories about what ails the U.S. and its institutions? Say a little bit more about that. I find that really intriguing.
Yeah. So, for example, a couple of the numbers that stuck out to me from this survey were about problems with voting, either ineligible voters going to cast votes when they shouldn't be, so voter fraud, or voters who are eligible being suppressed. And there were inversions between Democrats and Republicans in the way that they viewed these being a problem. Republicans more likely to see voter fraud as the biggest issue, whereas Democrats were more likely to see voter suppression. But for example, I was really struck by one of the sort of demographic cuts there. We looked at the strong majorities of Black and Hispanic voters saying that voter suppression is a major issue. And then on the flip side, white people and even white Democrats didn't seem to think it was that big of a deal. So that kind of experience, that sense that my friend or my cousin has actually experienced this at the voter booth, really shaped the way that people were reacting to this question.
Hmm. Robert Jones, I'd like to talk to you about this, what Emma's referring to, how the poll found different attitudes when it comes to voting about who's qualified to vote and what disqualifies people from voting. There seems to be a real misunderstanding about that in large numbers. How big of a concern is that to you?
Well, I have to say this is one of the – these were a new set of questions for us, and so we didn't have a baseline. And I was really surprised at the amount of uncertainty and really a lack of knowledge about what our voting laws are. And you know, so it really does paint a picture of people, particularly I think being vulnerable, who are eligible voters but who might believe that they are not eligible voters based on a whole range of things. I'll give you a couple of examples though. We asked a whole battery of questions about what kinds of things qualified you or disqualified you from being an eligible voter. And on every question we asked, there was at least a quarter of the country who said they were unsure. And on some of them, they ranged as high as 60% of the country saying they're unsure. So, for example, we asked about, you know, can you vote if you don't have a permanent address? 60% of the country says they don't know whether that disqualifies you from voting. And then on other things like being late to pay your taxes, having outstanding parking tickets or unpaid utility bills, these are things that do not disqualify anyone from voting. And yet about half the country says they're not sure if simple things like that would disqualify them from voting. And for example, being late to pay your taxes, up to 60% of African Americans say they're not sure if that would disqualify them from voting.
Wow. This is On Point. I'm Anthony Brooks. So, Emma Green, big differences in attitudes that divide along racial and ethnic lines, right?
Yeah, we see that at several different points in the survey. I think the experience around voter suppression and the perceptions there was the one that stuck out to me the most. But more broadly, I think we see that there is a breakout along race that is sort of intermingled with these different senses of who people are. It's always hard to tell in a survey whether the fact that someone's a Democrat or the fact that they're Hispanic, the fact that someone's Republican or the fact that they're white is what's really influencing them. But we saw in general, a really interesting sort of split apart where you had strong numbers from racial minorities and people who identified as Democrats on certain standards and questions. And then on the other side, Republicans generally tending to be white, having a whole different perception. So it was sort of a splitting apart of groups into these two camps of narratives about our democracy.
Robert Jones, I want to come back and ask you a question that's a little bit more related to what we were talking about in the first part of this hour, and that is reaction to what happened in Helsinki and reaction to Russian meddling in elections. And, you know, I was struck by how we heard a real divergence of views from our callers. Some people saying, you know, this is shocking, and obviously the president behaved terribly, and other people calling and saying, look, you know, our intelligence services have gotten us involved in wars we shouldn't have been involved in. Why are we believing them? This is a long way to get to this question. Are there events that happen that you see actually move the needle in polling like this? That is, could one suppose that what happened in Helsinki will make people, I don't know, more inclined to distrust President Trump's view of his relationship with President Putin, for example?
Well, I'll give the, you know, required pollster answer, and that is, we'll see. Right? These are empirical questions right. that have to be decided with a future snapshot, which we will certainly be looking into. This survey is part of a series of surveys that we're actually doing in partnership with The Atlantic, and so we'll have another set of surveys coming up, one more actually before the midterm. So we'll be able to kind of test the waters. But the other thing I would say, though, is that one of the interesting things we're seeing, I think, is that many of these kind of allegiances and the needle is hard to see the needle move because much of the polarization, as Emma mentioned, along lines of race and along lines of religion and along lines of party are kind of baked into our politics, and they have been baked into our politics over decades. And so I think that is the real challenge for us here that, you know, again, if you look at this, the saying outside interference by foreign governments, if you have a favorable view of Trump, only 22% of people who had a favorable view of President Trump said that outside interference was a major problem, compared to 61% who have an unfavorable view of Trump. So people are just seeing through these partisan lenses, and they are – if it was just partisanship, that would be one thing. But the way the U.S. politics have developed, it is race and religion that are also being baked in. And these are very visceral, tribal kinds of identities that have now been all fused along lines of partisanship. And I think it's really as notable as the previous guests were saying that it's notable that the Russians, even in 2016, the evidence is that one of their main strategies is they were exploiting these divisions along race and religion and partisanship as a strategy for disrupting society. And I think we're looking at it, you know, we need to take a very serious look at kind of the whole democratic system and realize that we are at a point where these divisions, which I think we've taken to be these domestic disputes and that don't leave our borders in some way, but that these divisions are deep enough now that they are actually becoming a national security risk for the country and for a healthy democracy.
We have literally 15 seconds left. I want to ask you, Robert Jones, very quickly, your question about the 2018 midterm elections, a sort of generic question about who's voting in which direction. What did you find?
Well, we find Democrats up by 11 points there. And I think one of the more interesting things here is that we're not finding a higher uptick among young people in the election. So that young people activism, which we do see in other surveys, is not translating into voting, at least in this survey. However, African-Americans are three times as likely to say all of their friends are going to be voting in the midterm election than whites are. And I think that's a number to really watch.
All right. Robert Jones, CEO of the Public Religion Research Institute. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Emma Green, staff writer for The Atlantic, thank you as well.
Thank you.
Listeners, you can continue this conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. You can also follow us on Twitter. Find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is On Point.